up, ladies and gents. It is Dave. It is Duncan.
And you're laughing at the beginning.
You just stop saying things before we press record.
I don't know what you mean, Dave. All I said was don't fuck it up.
Welcome back to another album review. For this review, Duncan and I have been checking out the new album from Norwegian multi-instrumentalist, vocalist and composer Isan. Isan's new self-titled album released on February 16th via Candlelight Records. Ooh. So, as the founding frontman of Emperor, Isan is universally lauded as one of extreme music's most important and influential voices, and he stands as a figurehead for what was arguably black metal's creative apex. Mm. What is even more important to note is that as a solo artist, Isan has all but outgrown the confines of that achievement, and over the course of 7 records, he has forged a sterling reputation for innovation and unabashed originality that's a genre-bending as it is gleefully indifferent to the weight of expectation.
I think I know who wrote this press statement, because yeah. You're already struggling with words here.
He has never made the same record twice, and it is that resistance to a templated approach that has become the cornerstone of his gloriously creative second act. For his 8th release, he's gone one further. He's made 2 albums. Not a double album, but melodically, 2 melodically interlinked versions of the same album. 1 prog metal album, 1 fully symphonic, and both a cinematically influenced masterpiece that he has simply definitively entitled Isan. It was a huge undertaking, and one that he professes to be one of the most complex projects he has ever undertaken. A labyrinthine rabbit hole of his own design, the scale of ambition is immediately apparent. Wholly self-produced and scored over the course of 3 years, the metal version has been mixed by Jens Borgen, the orchestral version mixed by Joel Dolly, and both versions were mastered by Tony Lundgren. Isan freely admits that the process pushed him to his limits. It began simply with a piano. On average, I've been releasing a full-length album every 2nd year since I was 16, and you know, that has given me some opportunity to explore different options. So for my 8th full-length solo record, I thought, okay, how can I do what I do best, but also raise the bar tenfold? At the heart of what I do is black metal, extreme distorted guitars and screaming. But since the earliest Emperor recordings, you'll hear the keyboard parts influenced by classic soundtracks by the likes of Jerry Goldsmith, John Williams, Bernard Herrmann, John Carpenter, and so on. So I approached
the
writing...
Like, he's tickling all my sweet spots right now.
I approached the writing with the intent to present the material in its full-blown metal expression, but also to arrange the orchestral parts in such a way that they would work independently. Somehow an attempt to write a soundtrack within the structures of the full production, allowing me to explore different and sometimes contrasting variations essentially the same music. In the end, I wrote all the music as a piano short score and arranged it for a typical band, ensemble and orchestra accordingly, making sure everything interlocked. There's more. Not satisfied to only create a dual record, there is also a conceptual story which underpins both sides of Isan, a pair of separate but interwoven Wagnerian narratives,
yes, Wagnerian, yep,
revolving around, I was doing so well, the traditional hero's journey. And while Isan
you're thinking about that cunt from X Factor. Like, why is he in here?
While Isan is resident,
a Wagnerian nightmare.
Still all, he is confident that meaning will soon emerge for listeners willing to show equal commitment. Joining Isan on this album are Tobias Ornes Andersen and Tobias Solbach on drums and percussion, with Isan's son adding additional percussion and violins by Chris Baum. So, first full-length Isan album in 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, this is a pandemic album. His
didn't say that in the press statement, though. Thank you, Lisa.
His 8th solo album. But to be honest, I can see why this has taken a wee bit more time to put together.
He's maybe the only musician I think gets maybe a year out of doing something. Maybe the only one that doesn't do this. I think everyone else does this, but I think he's just otherworldly. Like, gets to a point where they're just like, they're looking at the mess, yeah, a different fucking track in there, and they're just like that. Fuck this. Like, I'm not doing this anymore. A terrible idea. I'm going acoustic instead. You forget he released cover songs and shit like that. Yeah. During this time period.
Yeah.
Maybe that was his off. He was like, I'm just going to go away and cover Aha.
Yeah.
it's going to like, clear the air for me.
Yeah.
But if there's one thing you can say about him, he doesn't half-ass it ever.
No, well, that is true. That is very true.
Even a wee bit.
No. Okay, so I've spoken for quite a wee while there. I imagine the sound of this album had you completely erect for its entirety. What did you make of Isan's self-titled solo album?
How dare you presume to know what gets me erect, Dave?
I know.
You know the answer to that question is only you. there we are.
Smooth
there we
talk
are.
On you.
Yep, this is why I'm married with two kids. Because I said, I'm no marrying you, I'm thinking of Dave. conceptually, this is a really cool idea. Mm. And we might as well put this out there. For the review purpose here, we're reviewing the first album. Mm-hmm. I don't know what order. I'm assuming the first album is the one with all the vocals.
The metal album.
The metal album. We are going to discuss the symphonic album as well.
Yeah.
Because I think we have to. But that's not where the thrust of the conversation is going. Because a lot of what I want to talk about is what Isan does specifically on the vocals here, accompanied by the music, rather than talking about how he's composed symphonic parts to replace his vocals very cleverly. And I mean that it's not an easy thing to do, and he's done it very fucking well. Just when you think you've got a grasp on the dude, like genuinely, just when you think you understand his flow, you don't know fucking anything. And that's kind of the exciting part about it. Even the singles that I heard early on via a friend of ours, she may be doing PR for this. She was posting a lot about it. And I was like, I'm going to take the plunge. I'm going to check this out in advance of the album that I know inevitably we will review. And I was listening to it and I was like, it's not too far off what I thought it was going to do. So like when I heard the description, it's only when you hear it contextually in the throw of the entire album that you really get like a full, like it's that way where if you're standing so close to a picture, you can't take it in. But when you stand back, you start to appreciate all the value and detail there within.
Mm.
And that's his kind of self-titled album here. It is an incredibly complex listen. If you start analysing all the nuance, if you just sit back and you just let it wash over you, so I did two different types of listen here, which is difficult when you've studied music, because when you learn music or study it in any academic capacity, the first thing they tell you to do, and it's a very difficult trick to switch off, is listen to the instruments. Which might sound dumb, but what you end up doing is you'll start picking out exactly what the bass is doing. You can almost hyper focus on what different instruments are doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very hard thing to switch off and sit back and actually just take in the listen.
Yeah.
So the very first listen was that I'm going to start trying to pick things. And what I realized is that I actually took three listens to pick out everything that was going on in the details. On my fourth listen, it was the thing as a whole. He's really, 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 really good.
Did you do them back to back? Did you do like one and the other, the two albums, or did you listen to them like?
So separate? On the last listen, I did them back to back,
right?
But they were listened to in isolation on different days. So I listened to if I talk about my process, Dave. I listened to the vocal version, the metal version, twice in one day, and then the following day it was twice the orchestral version. Then the following day it was twice the metal version. Then I gave myself space, and then I listened to the album again as like a essentially as a whole into the other one. So technically five listens actually to the metal version and three to the orchestral version. And it kind of, even then, I still feel like if I went back and listened to it right now, I'd be like, that I didn't know he did that. I totally skipped over that. It's the complexity in which the album's written, but against that, the self-assuredness of how it all fits together is baffling. Like this kind of feels like this guy's been, I know he's like, I've been releasing an album every 2 years since I was 16. He wasn't releasing this when he was 16, right?
No.
This is an album that has grafted and matured over time. And you can feel almost in every release, the confidence level grows more in that kind of multi-instrumental and composer. I would class Ishan more now as a composer than I would necessarily a musician. And I mean that as no slight. I think he's got such a mastery of the craft of what he does musically now that he errs more into the composer territory, who still plays music and all the rest, but you know, is adapting like scenes. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is. It doesn't surprise me that it's, you know, like he's cited a ton of my favorite like score composers for movies. Mm-hmm. Bernard Herrmann for a start, like some of his scores are the most iconic like ever to this day. You know what I mean? Like the fact he's mentioned and stuff, that did work with De Palma, one of my favorite filmmakers of all time. Mm-hmm. He's mentioning that, I get it listening to this. Mm-hmm. It's all the space filling and playfulness and the instrumentation that really gets me, for lack of a better word, Dave, aroused.
See, I knew it. I said it at the beginning.
Aroused while I was thinking of Dave. I was thinking of you playing all these instruments.
And cool.
If he's doing that with those instruments, imagine what he'd do with my penis. but the thing about it is, we didn't need that. Right, that's gif-able, so let's not do that again, right? The thing about it is, like, you talk about the instrumentation, you talk about the composition, you talk about the dynamics in the album, you forget to talk about the metal of this album. Mm. Dude has never lost a lick on those kind of black metal vocals.
No.
Like, I would say he's better now than he was in Emperor, like, if I'm honest. I love his tone. It is so full sounding at that high register, but not only is it so full sounding, it's precision. Mm. You know, it's like he's tonal with it, but it's the precision to exactly where it comes in, how loud it should be, how long it should last, and you only get that over time. And it's why I get pissed off when people talk about, well, it's just screaming. Not really, though. Like, you do that. I'll give you a microphone and you do that. It's not about that. It's about understanding how your diaphragm works, understanding breathing timing and technique, and he is in spades. And then once it, like, you talk about that, but then you forget how fucking great his melody is. Mm. Like, dude can sing.
Yep.
Like, he can sing. And this album, I think, showcases some of the best vocals I think he's ever done. Mm-hmm. Like, you get this perfect melding of melody and black metal, like, scraping, searing vocals. And then the music in the background just elevates everything. I actually think, and this is going against the grain of popular opinion from Duncan, I actually think some of the moments that where I was actually flummoxed, it's a word that's not used enough, probably using it here. Let's get the thesaurus at flummoxed.
Oh my goodness.
It's when he goes long form on this.
Mm.
Like, he has a track here that's like a fucking cunt here under 8 minutes, right? Mm. And another track which is fucking over 9 minutes, and you listen to those and those sound like movie scores. Like, I'm painting a fucking picture with my mind over everything he's doing, and it sounds effortless. Like, it just sounds like this guy is being, like, fucking studied at the greatest schools ever, like, taught by the masters of music. Yeah, I studied under Beethoven for 3 years. You know, it just kind of fucking said, oh, Chopin was my roommate in college. You know, like, you get that feeling that it's an artist approaching music, because it's painting pictures, it's vibrant with colour and atmosphere and style. And then the production. It sounds fucking huge. This is amphitheater huge.
Yeah.
Right. This is I'm going to, like, why are you putting on your tux? Well, I'm going to see Ishan tonight. It feels like I should be sitting in an opera theater and there's a full ensemble here, a symphonic team, and he's leading them all. It just sounds fucking massive. And I realised I've not necessarily even talked about any fucking song, but I kind of feel like I'm ill-qualified to speak about any one individual song. See, when I talk about album experiences, I love listening to albums. I don't like listening to songs. I have favourite songs, but I love listening to albums. This is a album listen. The tracks are so well placed. You get nuances. There's a little bit, there's prog in there. bits of fucking jazz. He just like fucking flexes a jazz muscle every now and again. You're like, oh, where are we going? Yeah. Like, we're just like not even going for a walk just now. We're like in the wilderness now. Like he just mixes it in, and he mixes it so almost feel like if you were ill-educated, you think it's haphazard.
Mm.
But like knowing how difficult it is to do half of what he does,
yeah,
it makes me appreciate him even more. I struggle to now think of him as a musician. I think of him as a composer.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's maybe the greatest black metal composer ever. also, don't think there are many black metal composers, but he is one of them, or maybe the only one.
Possibly.
I don't know if you want me to talk about the symphonic thing just now, if you want us to both circle it to
the end.
Come back
to that. Yeah, we'll come back
to
that. Yeah,
but like, yeah, as a metal album, this might be his best. I think this is the version of him I like the most.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that would disagree with me. But I think this is where he truly shows how much he's transcended almost any moniker that you could give him. Like, almost any genre now. I think he just exists in his own little bubble. There's an Isham bubble or genre that exists out there. He kind of occupies it. It is an effortlessly good album.
Yeah.
So,
So
let's talk about your floppy, Dave.
Hello. Floppy's an old thing now. The old floppy discs. That's something that came, you know.
Talking about your penis, but I see you weren't taking. I see you weren't biting, Dave. Which
no
is
bait
the way I like
it. Has been eaten. This is this is a monster. This is an absolute monster of an album, musically and conceptually. The first thing I want to say is something you've kind of touched on already. But why the fuck is this guy not scoring movies? Like, what the fuck? Why not?
Do you think it's the vocal... I know how difficult it is for me to think about... Like, I've tried a couple of times since us being in a band to do something. And even though the instrument that I fucking trained in, quote-unquote, isn't a vocal instrument, that was the fallback thing.
Yeah.
But I always kind of feel myself uncertain. Oh, I could sing on that bit, or I could do that bit. Mm. I don't know if he thinks that if he does that, he loses... Or maybe it's a case of if he directed the movie, maybe like John Carpenter, he mentioned there, John Carpenter scores only his films. He very rarely scores anything out with. And that's because when he is writing the music, he's thinking of the picture or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that he's overqualified for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think he could churn out like 3 scores a year.
Yeah.
He could be like an Ennio Morricone with ease, just fling stuff out there, and it sounds fucking great.
Yeah. From the first few bars of the intro track, it feels like you've just stepped into a movie. Like, that's the feeling I got straight away. And not some guy's created on his laptop with like awful VSTs and sample packs. Like, this is full on. This is really beautiful instrumentation.
Yeah.
A grand design that's perfectly executed and produced. I think he has used bits of kind of software for this, but he's also overdubbed it with real instruments. So it's a bit of a hybrid.
That's how modern composers do things now.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, you would score it all out, and then you would hand it to a violin player, and they would play it back to you, and then you would tweak from there.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you just press a patch, and you have a violin on your keyboard, and then that's enough. And then you write all that way, and then give it to people who write it. It's the difference. We mentioned it before. It's the difference between shitty symphonic metal and really good symphonic metal, and the key is symphony. Like, if you don't have that element as being live, then
if you love movie scores, and this is going to blow your fucking mind, because it sounds incredible. And I knew going in this was like a 2-album deal, but I kind of underestimated just how much the orchestra would be a part of the kind of metal
the first
album
half. Yeah.
I love that the orchestral and kind of film score feel doesn't drop off to make way for the other instruments. As soon as we step into track 2, the Promethean Spark, it sticks with you throughout the whole album. And not just as like a we'll add this as a little subtle kind of backing to the tracks. The strings and the orchestral elements are also mirroring a lot of the riffs that the guitars are playing on the album. Not overpowering them in any way, but creating... almost creating this like grandiose feel when the tracks veer into something more extreme or dramatic. And the album is, this is extreme in places. Like there are tracks here that are loaded with blast beats, blackened riffs, you know, deathly screams from the man himself. And it is, to be honest, for me, it was great to hear him get back to his kind of like his core elements, back to his roots almost. The black metal and extreme metal is what he was known for from Emperor. He's obviously like touched on quite a bit of, you know, more kind of proggy, the more proggy side of things for his solo work. But in that this album has still loads of kind of flourishes of that throughout it. But tracks like Pilgrimage to Oblivion kind of pull back on that. And I have to say, like, are fucking fantastic. It's it's intense musically and vocally. But with that symphonic weight behind it, it's even more like emphatic. It takes those heavier parts to another level. That's not to mention the kind of vocal textures and layers from Isan himself, which range from the kind of rabid, the blackened screams. You mentioned his tone, it is incredible on this album, right through to these like epic prog melodies. I loved Pilgrimage to Oblivion. It's a definite standout to me. But what kind of makes it and the rest of the album work is it's not a full album of that. Yeah, the orchestral and symphonic elements tie it all together, but musically this weaves between the extreme and those big like prog epics that Isan does so well. Tracks like Blood Trails to Love are like soaked in incredible vocal melodies that have more of a kind of hook to them, very emotional.
Blood Trails to Love could be a Bond theme.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, Idris Elba became James Bond and the next one was called Blood Trails to Love. This could fucking score it.
It's
fucking huge sounding.
It's very memorable. And I liked that there were tracks like this throughout the album because not every track is built that way. You know, sometimes they're there to change the mood and the dynamic of the album, taking you, like, there's moments that you go on a really kind of more kind of unusual journey into something with like unconventional time signatures and quite a kind of avant-garde kind of guitar work and lead work, but it all fits together very well. Like it all ties into the concept. As I said, this feels very movie-like. So those little detours the album takes into more peculiar territory feel like a part of the story, to be honest. It never feels out of place, and it's been perfectly arranged so that the album never loses that conceptual feel. Every track has its own kind of design. But it's been perfectly arranged so the album never kind of goes out of shape. You know, it keeps you hooked in the whole time. His vocal style as well, parts of it almost feel like he's in character and you forget you're kind of listening to a metal album. I think surprisingly that one of the best moments of the album for me was the longest track on this release, At the Heart of All Things Broken, which clocks in 9:13, and just what an epic track. Like, absolutely stunning build up of these clean proggy melodies, strings and percussion, very lightly distorted guitars that leads into this moment of, it feels like a fairly dramatic moment in the story. There's lots of like orchestral stabs. It's got quite a sinister feel at one point, but it has a bit of light at the end where the melodies and the lighter strings come back, and it's so well composed. At first I wasn't sure that the album needed like an outro track, because at the heart of all things broken,
when the credits roll, Dave, come on, it's a movie.
That track is very epic. It's got a kind of epic kind of closing feel to it. And then when I listened to the album on repeat listens, I was like, okay, that last track, that Sonata Profana, it does kind of like add the final touch to this. It gives the album closure. And I think At the Heart of All Things Broken, that doesn't have that. Especially as the album has that kind of heavy film vibe. It's a fitting end to the album. For me, I have to agree. I think this is a whole piece listen. Certain tracks work as standalone, but a lot of it doesn't really make sense without it being connected to what surrounds it. And if you've watched the videos, you'll totally understand what I mean, because tracks like The Distance Between Us, when you listen to that track or watch the video, it feels like you've been dropped right in the middle of something, you know, rather than at the start of it. And I think context is key here, and listening to it in bits, I don't think gives you the same experience as listening to it from start to finish. It almost feels like an album that shouldn't really have singles like released before the album. But I understand you have to promote it somehow, so it's hard, you know, not to do that. But I think this could be this is the best thing that he's done as a solo artist.
That's insane.
The thought and the detail that's gone into this is unfathomable. I could imagine this being the most rewarding but the most stress inducing thing an artist could ever do. It is like, I don't even know how you would like plan out something like this. It's just insane. But I feel like this guy is kind of levels above what other bands are doing right now. He's kind of in a league of his own, to be honest.
He's a whole pictures guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely is.
I think he hears it. It's a lot of musicians that say, I hear it in my head, and then you listen to it and you're like, do you? I don't know if you do, because that bit doesn't fit with this. I get the feeling that it's just there.
Yeah.
It's there, and he just takes time to kind of work it out. But it's all there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the orchestral version, or the second album that comes in this little package, the orchestral version of the album is the same concept and same running order, but instead of having these like nasty blackened guitars and brutal vocals, it's completely stripped of all of that and just sounds like you're listening to like a John Williams score. Mm-hmm. Like it is. I'm a big movie fan. I watch a lot of films, but if I'm honest, I'm not one to listen to a movie score on its own. Like, it's just not something that I would do.
You break my heart. I no longer get hard thinking of Dave.
I listened to this obviously a few times for the purpose of this review, but it wouldn't be normally something I would choose to listen to. That being said, this is ridiculous. This is like, had you not told me this was done by Isan, I would have said, yeah, this is some kind of seasoned movie composer that's put this together. It's that good. Like, it would fit in alongside some of these guys that are doing big movie scores right now. Yep. But what I thought was really cool about this was it's not just a replica of the symphony orchestra that's on the metal version of the album. He's not just been like, right, let's copy and paste all those files and we'll paste that in here and call that version two, and there
he's
you go.
He's not being like, oh, my vocals sound kind of scathing here, so I'll just pick an instrument that sounds scathing.
Yeah.
He's not done that at all. He's actually, if anything, even the orchestration doesn't follow necessarily the melody from the...
Yeah.
It's like he's almost then recomposed...
Yes, absolutely.
...whole sections of... Which, once again, it's like, who has the time, Dave?
Yeah.
Who's the time?
Yes.
The internet is... full of tits.
He's doing this.
He doing?
I know. He's like, he's altered a lot of the dynamics and the kind of emotional range of it to give you a different experience of it. Because the orchestral version of this actually follows a separate storyline that's blended into the main storyline on the metal version. So like, it's just, yeah, it's kind of mind blowing, to be honest. Yeah, I listened to the orchestral version three times as well, and I was just like, this is fucking ridiculous. Like, that album is impressive on its own, to be honest.
Yeah.
The fact he's done that is like, yeah, here's the second version. Like, what? Get the fuck out of here, man.
Had this old thing lying around here.
Totally.
There's not much about that. I think it's maybe the most humble flex I've ever heard a musician do ever.
Yeah.
Here's the orchestral version of the album. I don't know what you think about it. It's just as fucking good.
Yeah. Ridiculous, man.
Yeah, yeah. Like, see when people... Not that I want to piss off people, but let's piss off people. See when people say like that, you know, you really should listen to Devin Townsend. He's kind of a musical genius. Devin Townsend wished he sounded like this. See if Devin Townsend like lost some of the shitty humour and, let's be honest, bad production techniques, and then focused on actually composition like this, I might agree with you, but this From a Great Height pisses all over anything that Did's done. I'm sure we'll get comments, but I love comments because I don't need them. Dave needs them. So yeah, where are we now? Are we closing this out?
Let's close this out with scores for the self-titled album from Issa and Duncan. What's your score?
So about this time last year, a couple of weeks, we had a chance to sit down and listen to the new Haken album, Fauna. And I got to the end of it and I was like, "That I don't like prog. However, this is fucking awesome. Dave, I don't really like prog, but this is fucking awesome." Five. I honestly feel like I'm shortchanging him, like, because he delivered two albums. He delivered two albums. Oh, that was just as good as you know. I don't think I've, as a musician, I've always liked his stuff. I don't think anything has come close to this, in my opinion. This is maybe the easiest five that I might give out this year. In terms of just how can you not? You can't, like, you cannot criticize this. It's constructed in such a way that you cannot fit. There is absolutely, he's made an impenetrable album, musically, stylistically, and then he did it again just for shits and giggles. Five.
Even if you just take out everything, say, just on a musical, well, just on a musical level, this is nuts. This is fucking ridiculous.
One guy, ladies and gents.
But then when you take it into account, this is a concept album that makes you feel like you're in a fucking movie. It sounds huge. And a production that's fucking incredible. And it's a double album, or two albums. It's kind of incredible what he's managed to achieve. Obviously he's worked with musicians. I'm not saying he's the only person involved in this, and there's producers involved as well. But the majority of this is coming from his head. You know what I mean? From Ishan.
His head on a piano and then put on other instruments.
Yeah. I can't fault this. I can't find anything to complain about or criticise or anything to change. It's flawless. Like, yeah,
you're great at complaining, by the way, so this is upsetting me.
I'd feel like an absolute prick if I was to say anything negative about this. Like, because I'd just been an arsehole if I did. So it's a five from me as well. Incredible album. Incredible. I'm excited.
How do you close this?
I'm excited for people to hear this. I really am. Yeah. I don't think anything anyone is going to say in reviews on YouTube or written is really going to do this justice, to be honest. It's something you have to hear and experience for yourself.
I would also say do both. If you're inclined even towards the metal side and you don't really like the orchestral side, honestly, listen to it. The things this guy's done in composition is just...
You know, this
album... It's just a different level.
I think it might sound pretty good on vinyl, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
For fuck's sake. How would you play it, Dave?
Just saying. I'd play them both at the same time.
Oh, I see what you're doing. I once saw a documentary that told you that the best way to experience the movie The Shining was to play it forwards and backwards at exactly the same time, so images superimpose and you'll see the face of Hitler, which you do actually see it for a glimpse, and then that apparently proved a Nazi conspiracy, which didn't happen.
I feel like it should have released a movie to go with this, to be honest. Maybe that's the criticism. 4.5, there should have been a movie go with this album. I'm disappointed.
Don't give them ideas. Next album took 6 years to make. Why? Well, I casted, created my own sets, did all the costumes. It's needlessly good.
Lazy bastard is.
3 years. 3 years. What was he doing? Releasing things in between as well. I did see, I will say this about him, because I know there's a lot of people out there that continue to be like, well, if you just go back and do Emperor. I did see an excerpt from an interview with him this week, actually, the week that we're recording this, where he basically said, there is absolutely nothing to be gained by doing anything in Emperor now. And I would say to him, he's 100% right.
Yeah, do this.
Do this, because you, like, this is better. Yeah. So,
February 16th on Candlelight Records is when this album drops. Check it out. Links below to the band, to the pre-order. Have a listen. I'll put a link to one of the videos, but honestly, listen to the whole thing. That is the advice given by Metal Epidemic. That's the review. Thank you so much for checking it out. Much appreciated. We'll be back with another review very soon, but until then, take care. Speak to you soon.
Bye, everyone.
We're getting the hearts.
Of course, five. You know what I mean?